Simon has been waiting for some time.
I did have a question a while back. I hope it's not too out of date. It relates to this issue of pre-adaptation and why we don't see it. And specifically, why we see, as it were, a limit to novelty in these simulations of self-reproducing organisms and so forth. It's a very simple point, so I'm speaking as really in making a naive question. If we looked at evolution as our great exemplar of persistent novelty, of course, the age of the dinosaurs, we may well be locked into some sort of equilibrium state whereby we wouldn't actually be seeing novelty. And surely this is a recurrent feature of the evolutionary history, where we do appear to reach some sort of equilibrium state. And it's the disturbance away from equilibrium, the change of the environment in particular, some radical change of the environment that then leads to new forms, new expressions of novelty and so on. Now, what if what's happening in these algorithmic models is that we're reaching equilibrium?
It may be. I'm worried about your first statement, Simon, but let's let them pass. That is to say, the question is whether or not when you get large and small extinction events, it's because the environment changed or because you have something that Karabakh would have called self-organized critical, and a whole bunch of us have played with that idea, and it's at least viable. Okay.
Sure.
It's possible that these systems do seem to come to an equilibrium. The question is why.
And you mean the software systems coming to
the software systems come to equilibrium, but my suggestion was, or my question is, do we not see exactly the same thing going on in the evolutionary?
But it would seem to me that there's a sense in which the most important sense of equilibrium, the software systems cannot come to an equilibrium, because the most important sense is the relation between what they do and what we do. And since what we do is more than what they do, that's the most important sense of disequilibrium. We can't get them to mimic us well enough.
Right. But
right?
I
know it's a different thing, but it seems to me that the point about us is that everything that's most important to us is what we don't yet know how to repeat. So we're trying to get these software systems to do as much of what we do as possible, but it turns out on this restrictive reading, mm-hmm. that they can do only what is repeatable, or we can trace a larger concentric circle around the repeatable, which is random recombination, but that's not good enough, and so they don't actually converge with what we do.
And indeed, I wasn't suggesting that they did, but the suggestion was that we have a phenomenon.
It's an alternate explanation for why they stop, which
indeed.
Is that they achieve
equilibrium. But may I also say that the contrast tends to be put in terms of evolution, natural history. But that contrast class perhaps isn't so different in that we do see periods of something like equilibrium where we do not have new species, new life forms, radical innovation, radical novelty. And what breaks us out of this now, there's some debate around, Stu, you're telling me that it's controversial what breaks us out of it. But one rather simple-minded view of what breaks us out of it is some catastrophe, some dramatic change in the nature of the environment.
Well, that's been tried in these systems.
Well, that's in a way my question. I mean, how is it that when you introduce that sort of dramatic change in the software environment, actually, that one does not then see a movement away from this equilibrium, some genuine innovation, some novelty again?
Meyer?
I want to try to crack at answering that, don't mind.
Great.
Probably. Well, there's a couple of things. One is that you can have... Yeah, I think it's important what you said about equilibrium.
It's a question.
No. And I think that one should not take these numerical simulations, which is what they are, as the holy grail of what can be done. I think these are very primitive studies so far. There's a lot of things that are missing. And one of them is an environment that these things create for each other, which is what we know happens in evolution. And it can be a property of these co-evolving systems where each agent sort of creates an environment where it interacts in a changing environment of other agents that are all sort of mutating. that you get this kind of punctuated equilibrium where you see these long periods where nothing happens, and then you have... Now, these models don't have anything like that in it. They don't create a complex environment of species, of interactions between species. This is or creatures. This simply doesn't exist in these... Whatever you want to call the creatures, they don't have perhaps sufficiently complex interactions, and that's why they reach equilibrium, and that's why, which is tantamount to saying that they don't evolve indefinitely more complexity. And whether you need, on top of that, something to come from the outside, but then you say, well, what is the outside really? I mean, if you want to make a theory of the universe, so.
Could be.
Could be, yeah.
Well, Stu, you surely have discounted this sort of explanation. Well,
I'm not the author of any of these particular simulations. I just note with, what's John's last name? I'll think of it in a minute, because he noted it too. Anyway, I just note that these systems all have the property that they stop getting more complex. And it's an open question, and Maya may have put her finger on a piece of it, about why that's true. I have the sense that there's something fundamental about Darwinian pre-adaptations that can't be caught by the kind of system that those people have made. That's why I brought up Carl Sims, because Carl simulated a physical environment, and in that environment, as stated by his physical laws, okay, Darwinian pre-adaptations can occur. The question is, and that's why I think it's related to the question about whether or not we can completely describe the real world. Because if we can't, whether we can or not, if a mutation happens that is advantageous for some new pre-adaptation in a funny environment that picks up some funny novel niche of a way to make a living, it'll come to exist in the biosphere, whether we can describe it ahead of time or not. So I mean, it really matters whether or not we can completely describe the physical world. See, I mean, part of the problem, I think, with this notion about pre-adaptations is it's relative to an environment, precisely your phrase. And I think the problem is that we cannot state what all possible environments are. It's an ill-posed, and it's a word, but we don't know what it is. That is to say, we can't list all possible, we don't even know what it means. We can't get started on a triangular formulation of, or a non-triangular formation, trying to say what an environment is. Okay, so I don't think we can get started on the project. Even if we could completely describe the physical world, I don't think we could get started on the project of saying what an environment is for an organism. And I'm not persuaded that we can completely describe the physical environment or the world. And meanwhile, see, another thing that once you've accepted emergence as real, I mean, if you have, for example, the difficulty that a physicist has specifying that the function of the heart is to pump blood, I think drives one to say that emergent phenomena are non-mystically real. Then you get these levels at high, you know, these things at quotes higher levels, if you'll let me get away with that kind of word, including social norms and bucking social norms and trying to overthrow social norms, and that's exactly what Lenin was busy trying to do, okay? What does it mean to have a complete description of all of that? It looks like you can indefinitely create new kinds of things. The universe can indefinitely create new kinds of things that go on interacting with one another in this sort of funny hierarchical way. And that's why I have this odd image of the universe getting persistently more complex on persistently higher levels of organization and, I want to say, entityhood, okay, interacting with one another in ways that can't be pre-stated precisely, making more kinds of things, and burgeoning into the complexity that we see around us. I mean, if you think about it, you know, we've got operas in the universe. That's bloody strange, you know?
But Stuart, but don't you think it's sort of misguided, to at least for physicists, to make a physical theory based on the existence of advanced human society, which has only been around for 10,000 years and which may not have happened? I mean,
so the question, I guess, Maya, the question is, I mean, in some sense, we're just bags of molecules, right? But we seem to have all of these properties. It seems to me that...
I mean, let's say in a million years, or 10 million years, there's no more humans, there's no more advanced life form above some...
E. coli.
Whatever, monkey, whatever. But there's no one who's making operas. I'm wondering whether someone should be making operas. But don't you think that, I mean, that would be maybe a more typical situation than
oh, sure. I mean, humans have only been around for a few million years.
Or intelligent life, or ascribing anything that... that's sort of deeply connected to physics, per se, to...
I don't know.
Social... I don't know. I have a hard time with this.
Yeah.
Let me just... Because some hands are coming down.
No, I'm not sure that the relevant parallel is whether is to ask whether at these higher levels social interaction we could predict or even describe. I think it's quite straightforward that we can't, that the complexity...
That we cannot.
That we cannot. I mean, it's much more straightforward than any of the physical science. I mean, there it's true. But I think we're getting to what is really important, to me at least, in this exercise, which is this whole issue of environment. Because to some extent, I understand Roberto's challenge and question as asking... what kind of environment are more likely to create the conditions under which emergence emerge in the social world? So it's not so much, the key is not so much can I recognize or is it theoretically possible? I mean, assuming that it is, assuming that we have the possibility of emergence, what are the environments that make that more likely, more possible? And so here the arrow goes in one direction, from the natural science to the social science. Naya was asking the other way around, to what extent is it at all relevant to us in physics? Now, that's the question for you. But for us, the question becomes, you know, can we say something about the characteristics of these environments that make that happen? And I think that's really key. And in fact, the social science, the social world is very, very creative in creating environments that internalize, in the economic jargon, internalize externalities, but indeed internalize the effects of emergence. So you were talking about incomplete contracts, where the key here is, I mean, it's not so much to ask, okay, is this an infinite line, and there are infinite number of interpretation of points between different interpretation of what the contract means, or can something happen that's totally outside the contract? The point is that the social world has created a system to deal with this, which is judges and courts and all the rest of it. So it has created a way to internalize whatever could look like an emergent phenomenon, something unplanned or not even, I mean, you're a kind of pre-adaptation. It has done that. Now, and that's kind of what its human order is about, is to create such systems that create these boundaries so that even if there's the unpredictable, we have processes to deal with that. So to me, one of the questions is whether the natural science can inspire us to think about systems that are not like this, that don't automatically internalize emerging phenomena, as it in fact happens in, say, incomplete contracts. So I would just keep that question. Under what conditions are environments conducive to? I think one of the very relevant questions.
Hold on. No.